The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson of KIIC in Albia and Mike Hohenbrink with the Kalmar Courier. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Yes, Senator. What are your hopes from the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement? And as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, what are some things maybe you think you ought to keep your eye on that maybe warrant concern?
Okay. Give you the big picture first, and then there's just a couple things to keep my eye on right now, and hopefully no more than a couple at any one time. The big view is that the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is very important because it's upgraded to include agricultural products getting into Canada that couldn't get in there before. And as far as Mexico is concerned, the fact that a bigger share of the cars manufactured in the United States has to come with parts made in Mexico that pay at least $16 an hour labor, and more content of each car, I think going up to 70% from 62%, the contents of a car that must be made in North America as opposed to China or any place else around the world. So it leads to about 176,000 new jobs in the United States and adds to our economy about $65 billion. That's the big picture. The other picture is monitoring Canada to make sure that they take our poultry and eggs and wheat and dairy, I think, are the big items that they've previously kept out of their country. And with Mexico right now, there's a big deal about taking our biotechnology, which basically for grains would GMO grains. And there's some indication that Mexico's not going to follow the sanitary and phytosanitary rules of the WTO, and that's very worrisome at this point. And you probably know that the president of Mexico's coming to Washington, D.C. This week, and so I hope these issues can be worked out getting our GMOs into Mexico. Let's go to Mike Kalmar.
Senator, thank you. Obviously, law enforcement is currently on the minds of many. With the failure of the GOP-led bill recently, is police reform in America dead in the water?
No, I don't think so. But remember why it was junked by the Democrats. Only four Democrats voted for it, and we needed about maybe just three Democrats voted for it. We needed about seven Democrats to get up to 60 votes. And the Democrats in the Senate, led by Schumer, they just couldn't allow an African-American Republican by the name of Tim Scott and Republicans getting credit for any police reform. Actually, their view is that anything that deals with racism in America and anything that deals with police reform in America is totally the ownership by the Democratic Party. And so that's why they didn't let the bill come up. But will it be dead? No, I think there's so much movement because of the unconstitutional murder of George Floyd in Minnesota, and there's a couple others that have popped up here recently, that the public's going to continue to demand police reform, and we'll get it eventually. And by the way, I'm a co-sponsor of Tim Scott's bill, and Tim Scott's bill is about 70% of what is in the House-passed Democrat bill, and you would think that nobody gets 100% of what they want. And if you could get maybe 80%, why wouldn't you go with what reforms you can get and live to fight another day? Tom, Albia?
Senator Grassley, last Thursday seemed to be a pretty busy day for you on the Senate floor, and you introduced the Prescription Drug Pricing Reduction Act of 2020. What are your goals? How is this an improvement on what you've already sponsored? How do we benefit?
Well, I'll tell you, the bill is almost 99% the same as what was voted out of committee 19-9 last July, with all but one Democrat and a minority of Republicans supporting it. It's one of the few times I moved a bill that didn't have a majority of the Republicans on the committee supporting it. I chair that committee. It was a disappointment to me, but I had the White House working with me, and the White House is very much for my bill. So we got a bipartisan bill out of committee, and until about a month ago, I thought we were going to pursue a bipartisan bill all the way to the president's desk, because the president announced it in his State of the Union message that he wanted to sign my bill. And guess what? When we had to reintroduce the bill that was a little bit updated, the Democrats decided not to go along. They got word from Schumer that we couldn't let Republicans get even get credit for a bipartisan bill that that the president maybe wanted, and so I had to introduce the bill strictly with Republican co-sponsors, and Senator Ernst is one of those. And what a bill does, I'll give you a couple examples. It does dozens of things, but let me say the two key ones. One is that year over year, there can't be more than an increase in drug prices by the CPI, which last year was 2%, but remember, drugs went up on January 1st this year 5-10%, and we want to limit it to the increase in the cost of living. And the second one is to put a cap on what seniors would pay for drugs of no more than $300 in any one month. Presently, they don't know what they're going to spend out of pocket. So putting a cap on that would be very helpful. It does a lot of reform to help make Medicare cheaper to the taxpayers, saving about $95 billion of taxpayers' money. Mike at Kelmer.
Senator, President Trump on Friday during his Mount Rushmore address announced creation of a new national memorial dedicated to heroic Americans. Thoughts on this, and would you potentially seek to have Iowa's new home for this statue garden?
Well, I think it tells me that when the federal government promotes stuff like this, most of the time they're in Washington, D.C., and so I never gave it any thought of what state it might be in. But would I be proud to have something like that in Iowa? The answer is yes. And I'd like to have Dr. Borlaug, the father of the Green Revolution, be in that garden. Tom?
Senator, you and some colleagues introduced responding to epidemic losses and investing in the coronavirus future, or the Economic Future for Producers Act. That's a long sentence there, and I didn't get it correct. But anyway, what's the aim of this? I know it has to do with helping our livestock producers.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Senator Ernst and I have joined the main sponsor, Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma, and it simply compensates for the depopulation of herds. And most of that, of course, is pigs, and to some extent, at least in Iowa, egg-producing hens were depopulated about 30%, and I think we want to help those farmers out because the pandemic is not their fault. The government shutting down the economy is not their fault, or the government shutting down packing plants when it's not safe to work is not the fault of the farmers. Mike at Kelmer.
Senator, the president has pointed to national education, again, during his Mount Rushmore address, and it's calling for educational reform, specifically with increased education on, for example, constitutional awareness for students. Is something like this, reform for education, actually something that could get off the ground?
Well, actually, it is reform in the sense that in recent decades, I don't know, there's 25 years or 30 years, we've gradually gotten away from teaching American history and how our government works and the principles of government. I'm not saying that it's this way in Iowa, because I go to a lot of high schools and I see government still being taught, but I think we've gotten away from it. And you know, the old saying is, you can't appreciate the future if you don't what you're going to do in the future and how to accomplish it if you don't know the accomplishments of the past and the past history of a particular society. And so I think the extent to which he is advocating that, it gets back to some of the principles that we took pretty for granted in my schooling and maybe my children's schooling, but for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, maybe we're getting away from it a little bit. And I think it's very important that people have a good, understand the good foundation of America, this experiment in self-government and individual freedom and government being limited to what it can do and government not giving you your rights and liberties because those are something you get from God. And those principles are very unique to the United States and unique to no other society throughout the history of humankind. And it's something that we need to be proud of and we need to emphasize more. And I think that's what the president was trying to say. Tom?
Yes, Senator, you spoke on the Senate floor about four laws that have been enacted from March through April to benefit individuals and even state governments. The CARES Act is the one we usually think of. Are more relief packages in the works? There seems to be a lot of pleading for more. What is it ever going to end? And at least state the benefits from what's been done so far.
Well, I hope it ends with one more. Now, starting July the 20th, we're going to put something together. It's got to get to the president by August the 6th, because then we leave for our summer break. I think that hopefully it's the last one, but it's going to depend upon the extent to which the economy is turning around. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Tom and Mike, for participating in today's Public Affairs Program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.